Kickstart Scholarship Fund is an initiative that's been set up by the Irish Probation Service in cooperation with Maynooth University. Let's find out more about how people with criminal convictions might be able to get third level scholarships. Director of Services at Maynooth University is Dr. Rose Ryan. And for listeners with conspiracy theories out there, she's not my sister or my mother or my daughter or anything. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning, Clem. We're not related.
No, we're not. But you wouldn't believe me, Rose, there'll be people out there and say, oh, yeah, nepotism.
We may be related, but we don't know it.
Get the family on the programme and everything. Yeah. What county woman are you, Rose?
From Carlow.
All right, we're not related, no.
Yeah, we're not related.
But the Rhines are very popular around Carlow. It's a big Carlow name as well as a...
The Rhines are popular everywhere, Clem.
Of course we are, yes, indeed. Now, it's the Kickstart Scholarship Fund. What an original initiative this is, Rose. Tell us more.
It is. So this is the first dedicated scholarship to support people with a criminal justice history who face financial challenges in accessing higher education. So it is, as you said, a wonderful partnership between Maynooth University, but it's really importantly funded and supported by the Irish Probation Services and the Irish Prison Services and Working to Change. And it is a collaboration also across four higher education institutions in the region. So it isn't just Maynooth University, it's also Dublin City University, Dundalk Institute of Technology and the Technological University, the Shannon. And really what it means is that there are scholarships available now to in each of those four institutions for people with a criminal justice history where, you know, financial barriers are really a real barrier to them accessing higher education.
Well, just drill into the details of how somebody with a criminal history, and God knows, it's hard enough coming out of jail and, you know, getting yourself absorbed into normal life again. But if you're short on the educational thing, your chances are greatly diminished. And we know that there's quite a good few initiatives going on within prisons to give people some form of access to junior cert or leaving cert while they're there. So just take me through the process then. Somebody has emerged from a jail where they were criminally convicted for one thing and another, and they would love to go to third level.
Exactly, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we know that the majority of people in prison, for example, have never sat a state exam at all. And about half of those who would be in the prison system would have left school before the age of 15. So it's really important that they get the opportunity to return to education. And so, for example, as part of our partnership with Mountjoy Prison, we would have been involved in a whole series of activities in their progression unit, where they give people in the prison system the opportunity to start tasting different kinds of education, to improve their literacy and numeracy, to sit their junior cert and leaving cert. So some of them then, when they leave prison, it's a nice kind of a pathway then into third level, but recognising that there are so few people, I suppose, with a criminal justice history that actually have the opportunity to continue on and to get that third level qualification, which is such an important credential in trying to access employment.
And in terms of, tell me about the funding of it, how that would work for, first of all, tell me how an individual would access or even apply for one of these scholarships.
Okay, so how they would apply is they apply directly through the four higher education institutions website. So for example, it's already open on the Maynooth University website. If you go to the access office there and there's a tab there specifically for the scholarship, it'll tell you everything about the scholarship. There will also be details directly on the other three higher education institutions, and you can also go to a website called unlockpotential.ie, and there's also information on the application process there. Just for people who are interested, in order to be eligible to apply, you have to be eligible for the SUSE grant, which is the maintenance grant scheme. And generally speaking, the household income would be in or around 46,000. And what's most important for them is that you can apply either coming in as a new undergraduate in September, but you might also be somebody who's currently studying and maybe you never disclosed that you had a criminal conviction, or maybe you didn't seek financial support. You can get the funding for either a full or a part-time course. And the two scholarships that are available in each institution, one of the scholarships is for €5,000 for each year of their undergraduate study for the 4 years of their programme, or if you want to do it part-time, you can also cover it over 6 years of the part-time programme, and then the second scholarship is €1,250 for a year, again each year for each year of undergraduate study.
I have to say, in case I misled people there that might think you have to be just emerging from jail for this, no you don't. While it's been established by the Irish Probation Service and supported by the Irish Prison Service, with of course Maynooth and the other universities University, as we mentioned, Maynooth University. It's for anybody, if you had a criminal conviction in your past, and of
exactly.
course you pop along to a bank and say, can I have a loan of 20,000 over 4 years? Well, let's look at your CV. Oh, you have a criminal conviction. Sorry, out you go. This is about
exactly exactly it, Clem. Because what we know is that even when, you know, somebody has a criminal conviction, even if they have served a sentence, they carry that conviction with them. And it isn't just them, their families and their children also have the same impact. And this scholarship really is about giving people a second chance so that they could change their lives for the better. And one of the most wonderful things, I suppose, about it, if you go to that Unlock Potential website, you'll see lots of really strong role models of people who have this kind of background and who have changed not just their own lives, but also the lives of their communities and their children. And this is a real opportunity for people to think, actually, I could do this, but you know, we know that they need kind of targeted financial support.
All right. Now, it's a great idea, and we'd hope indeed that if the initiative becomes successful, there might be more than just one of each of those scholarships, but it is an initiative to see how it will work. And if you want to find out more, the best thing to do is get onto the Maynooth University website and look for the access link, as Rose has outlined there, and you'll get all the information you need. I think that's a very, very positive initiative altogether, and it gives people a chance to escape their past and not be held hostage to something that they might have just, you know, everyone makes mistakes, and ultimately everybody has to be forgiven at some stage, particularly when they've done their time. Dr. Rose Ryan, Director of Services at Maynooth University, thank you, Rose, for telling us all about that on Kildare Today.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Michael Coleman, Councillor of Selbridge Leixlip MD, Fianna Fáil Councillor, that is, joins me now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Ciara.
You asked the council to inform the members on the outcome. This is of the road safety audit, stage 3, on the completed link from the Castlewallen estate to the road serving Aldi.
Yeah, I suppose this is going on for a while, Ciara, and the report I got is that the stage 3 road safety has been carried out on the completed works undertaken by Andrews Construction, comprising an uncontrolled pedestrian crossing from Castlewallen Park estate to the Aldi car park in Selbridge. A report from the road safety audit will now be submitted to the planning section and proceed through the planning process, or compliance process. Once compliance is achieved, the stage 3 road safety audit report will be published on the planning system and available to the members.
Is there any timeline on that, Michael, at all?
There's not, and that's what I'm worried about, because, Ciara, I've been on for this for the last 6 months, and like I suppose the whole thing is safety, and safety is paramount. This was, I suppose, coming from the Castletown estate, it's only a new estate, it's put in as a permeability, and I think there's safety issues with it, as do residents there as well.
Okay, so I'm assuming this is something you're going to continue to work on over the next step.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a motion on it before as well, but it's just taken too long, especially for safety.
Okay, we're going to move now. You asking the council to liaise with AIR. This is in relation to payphone needs in Selbridge and Leixlip, and that the phone boxes be removed if they're no longer required.
Yeah, and look at, I suppose the report I got on this is a long one. The previous report to members of this matter confirmed that the municipal district and engineer had contacted AIR requesting that the existing phone box be removed from the main street Leixlip. In response, AIR advised that they were required by Comreg to provide a payphone service in the area, and also a number of calls from the payphone were to numbers of assistance. AIR proposed an upgrade of the phone box to a new style kiosk, which would require planning permission. Recent communications suggest that a planning application to upgrade the kiosk are due to be submitted to locations and at Selbridge, Newbridge and Maynooth. There's no indication of an application due to be made for locations in Leixlip. But the two phone boxes on the main street, Ciara, are an eyesore on the streetscape. They don't even work, so they're not serving any purpose, you know. And the telecom regulator no longer require AIR to operate and maintain public phones since 2021 and onwards. Comreg has stated that it's no longer necessary or appropriate given their low usage level and widespread use of mobile phones. And just to inform the listeners as well, There's only 456 payphones in the country.
Okay.
Dublin does 188 and Cork 65. But the thing is, counties Leitrim, Roscommon, Donegal, Mayo, Westmeath and our neighbours Meath no longer have a single public payphone.
Okay. Okay, we're going to move now, finally, Michael, to you asking the council to engage with Aldi in Selbridge. This is on the safety of pedestrian, the cycling entrance to the car park. That's from Castlewell in the area again we're speaking about.
Yeah, and look, at I'm pleased that the Municipal District Office has engaged with Aldi in the safety concerns for the pedestrians and cyclists. And this leads out from my last motion that I had there on the permeability. But safety is paramount for all users, Ciara. And one has to come off a damaged curb onto the footpath, then over a drain, which lead into a busy car park. It's certainly not friendly like to wheelchair users, buggies or scooters or that, you know.
And just to let our listeners know that the Municipal District Office of Selbridge Leaks, if they have made initial contact, they noted, with Aldi to set up a meeting on the site in relation to the issue. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Ciara, can I just say before we go, I would like to thank Father Joe MacDonald, the Parish Committee, the interim CEO, Kildare County Council, Sonia Cabinet, and the interim Director of Service, Marion Higgins, for all their great work in the purchase of the parochial house in Lansing, Main Street, Selbridge.
We actually spoke about it the day after it was announced to your fellow councillor, Nuala Colleen, and we did run that news earlier this week. Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay, yeah, but I'd like to say that I was highly involved in it. I set up the initial meeting with that, and I'm pleased that it's come to fruition now, that we will have this as an amenity for all.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor, for Fianna Fáil and Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District. That is Michael Coleman.
Well, indeed. Well done, Michael, on all of that. Thanks, Ciara. Before we go to the Atai MD, just a couple of messages coming in. Joe Rourke sent something. Make of this what you will. It's a joke, by the way, before people think it's the real thing. He says, Gardaí and Cork have discovered 5 barrels of petrol with an estimated street value of €40 million. The drums were hidden in a shipment of cocaine, which I suppose does reflect the reality out there that fuel is becoming so expensive, and we've spoken in this programme about the serious blitz and destruction that cocaine is causing across the country. And just on the note regarding petrol, by the way, I saw a post from a person on Twitter last night, and they were talking about, they were in Germany. Was it Germany? No, they were in Lanzarote, where hire a car for a week was €159. Are you getting this now? In Ireland, it can cost you up to €2,000 to hire a car now. Hire a car for a week, €159. A litre of petrol, €1.59. We often hear in Ireland that we're an island, and because we're an island on the edge of Europe, oh well, you know, extra transport costs. Well, the last time I was there, Lanzarote was an island off the coast of Africa. And they can hire cars out for that kind of money for a week, and petrol is still €1.59 to €1.69 a litre. So what exactly is going on in this country? Owen, I'm not asking you for the answer, of course. I know you'll be Taoiseach someday, but anyway.
Yeah, well, I actually got a message in from Noel Fenley, who's a listener in Fortaventura, and he was telling us that the prices for petrol are €1.56 to €1.60 as well in Fortaventura, so similar to Lanzarote.
Yeah, Fortaventura is just the next island to Lanzarote in the Canaries.
Yeah.
These are islands off the coast of Africa.
Yeah, and also my sister was in Malta, which is obviously an island under Italy, and petrol there was €1.39. So it might have something to do with the cost of living or the, you know, the wages there, but...
No, but Owen, and I know you have, we won't dwell on it too much, the oil comes all from the same sources, you know? It has to be transported by tankers and everything else. So it can get to the Canaries... It can get to Malta. It can get to other places. I've also seen prices in Germany around the 160. It does not explain if it can be that price in islands off Africa and Malta, which is another island, as you say.
Mm.
Why is it 220, 215, 220 in this country? Another listener says, quite right. I was in Lanzarote recently, this listener says, and just let's see who it is if they give their name. It's Chris in Selbridge, who said, 8 days of car hire, €174. And the taxi, by the way, the same listener said in Lanzarote, and I've experienced this, I can verify it, a 4 mile taxi ride was €3. To get in a taxi here before you go anywhere, there's a standing charge, I think, that's around €4, or in excess of €4 in many cases. Anyway, so it begs the question again, why is petrol retailing and fuels retailing at between 2.10 and 2.20 and maybe more in this country, given the examples that we've given? Anyway, yeah. Owen, over to you.
There's an exciting event happening tomorrow in Athy Tennis Club. It's an open day for wheelchair users who would like to try out wheelchair tennis. And Labour Councillor Mark Lee on the Athy MD is on the line now. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Owen.
This was very interesting and my ears kind of pricked up when you told me about it. I think it's a great initiative that has been launched and is going to be trialled tomorrow. We've seen something similar in St. Kevin's GAA in Staplestown with Football for All and also Coyle Dove getting involved there. This is something similar with tennis and wheelchair users.
Yeah, and I think the idea came to me, in fairness, from Kilcullen Tennis Club, who ran a programme a couple of months ago, Owen, for tennis players with sight issues, and I just thought maybe something we could do in our club, and I approached our coach in a Thai tennis club, Gary Beresford, and he thought it was a great idea. Well, he said if Cullen are doing that, maybe we could do something like wheelchair tennis.
Yeah, and I think Nace Tennis Club did something as well for those who were partially blind or had impaired sighting as well. So this is for any age or any athletic ability wheelchair users, and the rackets and refreshments are provided. So you could be experienced in tennis or you might never have picked up a racket before.
Any athletic ability at all. Just turn up tomorrow from 12 p.m. We have our coach, Gary Beresford, will be there tomorrow, and we'll have Enzo Dowling and Anne-Marie Breen from Tennis Ireland. And listen, sure, it'll be a great day. And we had the Irish Wheelchair Association up yesterday to have a go, because they can't do weekends, and they haven't got the buses at the weekends. And they came up yesterday, and we facilitated a coaching session there yesterday afternoon. And I have to say, it was one of the most heartwarming experiences I've ever seen to see them playing. It was brilliant.
It's a great tennis club down in Athy. It's been there for quite some time, very inclusive as well. And this is just something else now to add to the list.
Yeah, no, we're there. I'm a member here since 2016, and I have to say, what you've described there is my exact experience of it, Owen. It's a very inclusive club. Just six courts up here, lovely clubhouse, lovely membership, and anyone that ever wants to come up and try tennis here would be more than welcome.
Super stuff. So anyone who is interested in attending that open day tomorrow at Athy Tennis Club is urged to contact Mark Lee. You can contact the club directly, you can contact Mark on social media, or get in touch with us here at KFM and we can pass you on in the direction of Athy Tennis Club. So super stuff tomorrow, Saturday 25th of June, for wheelchair users. Mark Lee, thanks for joining us.
And it's not the only thing, Owen, that's happening in Athy, because I see that this evening between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. the Women's Integrated Network have a big event, activities going on. It's the 16th year and it's taking place in the Arch, the former Dreamland Ballroom, and there's provision for online participants to join the celebration again. There'll be music, dance, poetry and a lot more, and people from various nationalities and creeds and everything else. Everybody is welcome. And Francis Sonny Itowen, who has been on this programme previously, will be coordinating that, speaking about the highlights. And indeed, this afternoon, Kira hopes to join Francis on the programme and Kildare Focus between 3 and 4. So Bree Brophy is the chairperson out there. Bree, if you're listening, or Francis is listening, you might get in touch, because I know Kira has been trying to contact you to showcase more about your event taking place this evening in the Arch out on the Kilkenny Road this evening between 7 and 10, the 16th year of celebrating diversity in Athy. Great, great stuff altogether. Now, it's also a huge weekend of sport here in the county. GAA, we'll talk later after the break, but of course it's Dubai Duty Free Derby weekend at the Curragh, and I'm joined by racing and sponsorship manager at the Curragh Racecourse, Evan Arkwright. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Clem.
All right, big weekend, as we say, in regards to what's coming up, and you get underway today.
We get underway tonight, and really looking forward to it, Clem. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. The first race is at 5 o'clock. 7 really competitive races, including the Colmar Group Curragh Cup and the DNG Apprentice Derby, the most prestigious race for young apprentice jockeys in the calendar. And we finish up with a big party band at the end, a Queen tribute band. So yeah, it should be a great night, and hopefully plenty of locals will come out to enjoy what always traditionally is a great way to kickstart the weekend.
Indeed. Now, we'll talk about some of the extra elements in a couple of minutes' time, but just let's stick with the action on the track. And, of course, tomorrow is Dubai Duty Free Derby afternoon. And Aidan O'Brien, unusually for Aidan O'Brien, but it might be indicative of the prospects of this particular horse, even though it's not going to be the favourite. He's going to rely solely on his Epsom Oaks winner Tuesday. That's the name of the horse, by the way, folks. As he bids to win the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby for a record 15th time tomorrow.
Yeah, it's quite phenomenal. But yeah, what the significance is a filly running against the colts, which is very unusual. The last time a filly actually won the race, Glenn, was Balanchine back in 1994. It's rare to have fillies running in it and taking on the colts. But I think Aidan obviously loves this filly. She won the Epsom Oaks. She's very good. But she'll have to be at her very, very best to beat the colts. And I suppose that the current favourite is a horse called Westover. He ran very, very well in the Epsom Derby. He's trained by Ray Beckett in England, and he is going to be very hard to beat. He's owned by Judd Montfort, and he's going to be the mount of Colin Keane. And Colin has obviously been champion jockey here in Ireland, and for the last couple of years, he's obviously never won the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby. So it would be a big, big success for him if he can finish first past the post.
Well, let's see what Colin Keane has to say.
A lovely ride. I'm very thankful to Judman for putting me up. Obviously unfortunate for Rob Hornby, but no luck. It's a brilliant spare to pick up.
And in terms of the Irish Derby, the English Derby form always tends to travel over to the Curragh as well, and I thought he was desperately unlucky at the Curragh, and that must give you plenty of confidence going into Saturday's race.
Yeah, you could say that. When you look back at the replay, he was the horse that caught your eye the way he finished. And as you say, usually the Epsom form holds up, and the Curragh more galloping track might even suit him. So no luck. Ground seems we're going to have lovely ground for the weekend, and he looks like a very straightforward horse. I'm very much looking forward to it.
That's champion jockey Colin Keane, who will partner Westover tomorrow. By the way, Tuesday, Aidan O'Brien's Tuesday will be partnered by Ryan Moore. It's an 8-runner field, by the way, the highlight of the afternoon, of course. And Westover is trained by Ralph Beckett. Hannibal Barca is the winner of the Helder Family Stables Gallen Ewe Stakes at the Curragh on his first start last month. It's Joseph O'Brien's only runner. Indeed, it's three O'Briens involved tomorrow, because also Joseph's brother Dunica, he'll be represented by a number of horses in Piz Badil. You might help me out, Erkin, Evan, if I make a mess of any of these. Paddy Toomey's French Claim, the Oliver and the Oliver trained Glory Days is in there, and Jim Bulger's Boundless Ocean complete the lineup.
Yeah, it's a very good, I mean, really you could put a claim to a lot of these horses, and like we talked about Tuesday and Westover. Piz Badil again ran at Epsom, didn't run well. They said the track didn't suit him. He's going to be hard to beat. And Dunica, he's only 23 years old. He actually won the Derby as a jockey for his brother Joseph with La Trobe a couple of years ago. So I think Dunica could become, if he wins, could be the youngest jockey or youngest trainer ever to actually win the race. And he's the jockey then is obviously looking to win his first Derby. You've also got, you know, Hannibal Barca, as you said, Joseph trains this horse with a big stance, and Glory Days, Andy Oliver, that could be the first horse ever from the north of Ireland to win the race. He's trained up in the north by Andy Oliver. French Flames down in Tipperary, Paddy Toomey, big day for him to have a runner in it. Very good trainer. Jim has obviously won the race a number of times, most recently with Trading Leather, so he's a bit of a squeak at a big price. And then the one that there's a lot of interest in, and quite a lot of I think a lot of interest in the betting market, is a horse called Lionel. He's stepping up in class. He's actually trained in England by a Frenchman called David Manoussian, Ridden by Jamie Spencer, who of course is Irish, based in England. So yeah, you could. There's eight runners. It's a good field, a very good high quality field, and very competitive.
Indeed, and it's part of a big racing afternoon tomorrow, and indeed then on to Sunday, where you have the Pretty Polly Stakes, and that's also Family Day as well. And that on cue. And by the way, we're broadcasting there tomorrow. We're live from 1:30 on both days. Pat Costello. Paul Power bringing you all the action, and or rather Pat Costello and Ben Atkinson bringing you all the action tomorrow on Sportsbeat Saturday, and then Paul Power and Owen Beattie bringing you all the action live, the colour and the atmosphere from the Curragh. Now, just to finish on the racing, gates open today at 3 p.m. The first race is at 5 p.m. and as Evan said, there's music afterwards for the punters until 10 o'clock by Queen, Europe's most authentic Queen tribute band. Tomorrow gates open as early as 11 a.m. with the first race at 1:25, the Derby goes off at 3:45, and then after racing entertainment is by Smash Hits, and that will be until 7 p.m. And Sunday is Family Day, with a family ticket retailing at €30. Now, there's loads of free entertainment like kids' zones, magicians, face painting, giant games, Junior Einsteins, the Front Runner Race Club, and lots more. And in a rather original initiative, there's a free race card specifically designed for children will be given out at the gate, and special price meals and everything as well. So that's the racing over the weekend, which is enormous, getting underway. But also, of course, in terms of access, you're running a free shuttle bus service, Evan.
Yeah, we have done. We do it for every race meeting, and it's hopefully a great service. So yeah, from Kildare, then it goes from the station, picks up in the square, comes to the race course, and then comes back again. That's over the 3 days, and in Newbridge, picks up in the station, and then picks up in three locations on the main street, Clem, outside Riverbank, outside the Rockets there beside the entrance into Whitewater, and outside the Cadine Hotel. So that will shuttle as well over the 3 days. So yes, absolutely. You know, hop on the bus; it's free. And you know, also to say that, you know, admission is there's discounts still for the Derby. You can buy your Derby ticket for €40 online now up until 12 o'clock tonight. And then tonight admission is €20, and as you said, there's concessions then for under 25s and seniors on all 3 days. Under 18s with an adult are free, and then on Sunday the special offer as well. At the moment, you can buy a ticket to come in on racing on Sunday. It's a really good day for only €15.
€15 and a family ticket is €30 there. So great weekend of racing, of fun and games for the kids, and of course after racing entertainment as well. We're looking forward to being there all day tomorrow and Sunday as well with the lads, and of course we hope that our racing winners, the 15 winners of the pairs of tickets for Friday, Saturday and Sunday that we ran here on competitions during the week, we hope they have a ball as well. And likewise to you and the team, best wishes for a great, great weekend, Evan.
Looking forward to Clan, looking forward to seeing you all and broadcasting here from Saturday and Sunday. And yeah, thanks so much for all your support.
You're welcome indeed. Racing and sponsorship manager with the Curragh Racecourse, Evan Arkwright. After the break, we're looking ahead to the UPMC Senior Hurling Championships, which begin tomorrow, and a host of football finals as well on the club scene.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Before we hit the sport, just to tell you that the Kildare West Wicklow SPCA Summer Bazaar, which was due to be held at the Animal Shelter in Athgarvan this Sunday, is postponed until Sunday, July 3rd, due to the weather conditions. Quick preview of what's happening on Kildare Focus this afternoon with Ciara between 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking with Pat Mullen. He's of the Michael Mullen Charity Fund, and their 2022 writing competition are seeking entries. We'll hear from Pat about that, exactly what you need, and of course about Michael also. Then you mentioned it a little earlier on, 16th year of celebrating diversity in Athy, and it's the 15th anniversary of WIN's public launch. We hope to speak with Frances a little later on. Frances Sony Itawand, founder and executive coordinator of WIN in Athy, and a group representing the universities want to see the leaving certificate exams held in May next year. They say the exams and results were always too late.
Right. Well, then what happens to the school year if you're going to hold the exams in May? It would have people taking holidays at the end of April. Thanks for that, Ciara. Kildare Focus between 2 and 3 this afternoon. I had a message in there from Mick Dillon at Laois Hire in Athy. Mick says, good morning, Clem, and all your team. I was on Kildoon Bog last night. I found a phone, which I think might belong to a man and woman out walking. Right, if anybody lost a phone in the area of Kildoon Bog last night, they might give us a ring here at the station and we'll pass on Mick's number. We won't give out your number, Mick, because you'll only maybe start getting nuisance calls. But Kildoon Bog, phone found there last night. Okay, let's move on to the weekend sports preview then, because the stuff that we have lined up is football, hurling, football and camogie. And fixtures this evening, for example, in the Reserve Football League Division 5 final in St. Conlon's Park, Carra play Grange Nolven. There's a change of venue there, note that. Tomorrow, Reserve Football League Division 6 semi-finals at 7:30. First named at home, 2 Mile House versus Naas, Selbridge versus Sarsfields. Also tomorrow, of course, is the 2022 UPMC Senior Hurling Championship Preliminary Round 1 getting under way in St. Conlon's Park. Selbridge against Kyle Dove, 2 o'clock. Leixlip against Naas at 3:45. Leinster Leader Sports Editor Tommy Callaghan. One wonders, am I be fair when I say everybody's going to be playing for second place in the championship? Shades of, I suppose, the Leinster football situation, Tommy, of recent years.
Well, I suppose the hurlers in Naas wouldn't like to hear you saying that.
I know that, yeah.
But at the moment, it certainly looks that way. Naas. Naas look far above, way above everybody at the minute. As you say, something like the Leinster Senior Football Championship and the superiority of Dublin. But yeah, Naas going for the 3 in a row. And it's very hard to see. I know you would wonder with their hunger and their appetite remain, but I mean, from what I can gather, they're as hungry and as looking forward to this championship as they have for the last few championships. And the one thing about Naas have this year, they have other titles to defend. So that there's a lot at stake for them, but I'd expect them to get off to a good start at the weekend.
Yeah, we're going for a record number of titles, Leinster titles and all of that to defend. They're playing Leixlip, would expect to beat Leixlip again. With all due respect to these teams, now we're just talking on form and there's no other way to call it. And in the other match, you have last year's finalist Selbridge playing Kyle Dove. And this is a preliminary round tomorrow. I suppose, again, Selbridge favourites to win that game, Tommy.
It would be, of course, Clem, yeah. I mean, they had a decent league, the 6 points out of 5 matches in the league. Don't forget, now, Selbridge gave Naas a fair old run for it in the final last year. There was little in that match, but quarters way through, there was very little in it. Naas eventually pulled clear. Selbridge probably are still looked upon as probably the nearest to Naas at the minute, anyway. And we'll know more as the championship progresses. The league is the league. We didn't even get a league final, unfortunately, for various reasons. But you have to go on the form. We know, and at the moment, you have to fancy both Naas and Selbridge to begin their championship campaign with victories.
Now, we have, of course, 2 games in the UPMC Senior B Hurling Championship as well. Both of those, by the way, that Selbridge Kyle Dove game at 2 o'clock and Leixlip at Naas at 3:45. Both those games are in St. Conlon's Park tomorrow. We'll have live reports with Seamus Dillon. Meanwhile, in the UPMC Senior B Hurling Championship tomorrow in Mangard plus Hawkfield, pitch 1, both games at 6:30, Kilcock play Moorfield. There's a change of time. Each of these games are starting an hour later than originally scheduled. Sarsfields will play Aero O'Curraquill at 8 o'clock. Now, Tommy, there's also a number of games in football across the reserve finals over the weekend. I've mentioned some of them already. Tomorrow in the Reserve Football League Division 1 final in Newbridge, Athy play Naas at 4 o'clock. In the Division 7 reserve final in Mangard plus pitch 1, Carbery against St. Lawrence's at 1:30. And that's followed at 3 o'clock by the Division 4 final, which has Confey against Suncroft. But one game I want to mention tomorrow is the reserve, the EMS Copiers Senior Football League Division 4 final. in St. Connaught's Park, where unbeaten Grange Nolven, and what an achievement that is for Grange, the only unbeaten team across the four divisions, they play Strachan at 8 o'clock. That should be a cracker of a game.
Well, it has to make it a cracking game. And Strachan had a very good run in the league as well. I think they only lost the one match. So, a hell of a good game. And as you say yourself there, Clem, a great achievement by Grange to go through their entire league campaign undefeated. And it's a big boost for them. Big boost for both teams who will operate in Division 3 of the Senior League come next year. And no doubt, they give it everything. The number one in the league, especially in the lower leagues, is the game promotion. And who actually is crowned the league champions, it's just a little bit of icing on the cake. As I said, the number one is the game promotion up to the higher division. But this, it could be a cracking game of football.
All right, Tommy. I said 8 o'clock, I think. That's because I was looking at the time in the 24-hour clock of 1800. That game between Grange and Strachan is tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
At 6 o'clock in regards to that. Now, that's hurling, that's football, but it's also a game in Camogie, because following last weekend's win over Wexford in the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship, Kildare go to Killian in Meath tomorrow to take on the home side at 5 p.m. It's a game they must win. Here's manager Joe Quaid.
To be fair, I've kind of said it all along, we were making progress. It probably wasn't shown in the results, but we knew at training and that the girls, they were massively improving. And yesterday, to be fair, second half, we had a dogfight on our hands with the wind, and they showed their true metal.
From a managerial point of view, it must be pleasing not just to get the win, but also to see your team in a different position, in terms that you weren't chasing a game, you weren't trying to claw back the scores, but you had taken the lead and you need to see the game out, and they did that.
I suppose we didn't change our style. We set up yesterday to play no matter what the conditions were like, and the girls bought into it. It worked a treat, and they gave absolutely everything. No, I think we actually nearly played better than the second half against the Gael, because the girls have gotten far more comfortable on the ball, and I think they're actually starting to believe what we've been telling them all along is just how good they are.
And finally then, Joe, you know, it was the third game out of five that you've to play, having lost the first two. It was really a game that you needed to win. You've done that. You've Meath in 2 weeks, and then you have Cork, so you're still in with a chance of qualifying for the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I suppose, look, the Wexford match was a kind of a crossroads. We were either going to be fighting relegation, or we were going to give ourselves a chance of qualifying. We kind of pointed that out to them at half-time, and even before the match, that this was kind of probably our most important match of the year. And to be fair to them, they knuckled down and they were outstanding. It was just a joy to watch all their hard work being rewarded.
Kildare Camogie manager Joe Quaid, all their hard work being rewarded. And Tommy, that game they must win tomorrow. The men footballers are gone, the women footballers are gone. The Camogie team has to win that game tomorrow to stay in the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship.
They do, Clem. It's amazing really, because when Joe came in, that team was at a very, it's a very young, inexperienced team, and I saw them earlier on in the league against Cork, I think it was, in Hawkfield, and they weren't overly impressive, to put it very mildly. But Joe said after that match, look, they were only kind of getting together, they were only really beginning to train, and he was managing and coaching. Now, Joe, as you know, Clem, is a very experienced man, come Camogie, come hurling. And his influence, it has taken a while, but his influence is starting to show now.
Absolutely. Former All-Star hurling goalkeeper, as the name Quaid would imply, with Limerick in his time as well. Formerly manager of the Kildare Senior Hurlers, by the way, and also the Westmeath Senior Hurlers. So he brings great expertise to the Camogie. So good luck to them. Tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock in Killine. Pity these games are on that time of the evening, which basically sports programmes tend to finish by 6 o'clock, and unfortunately. But anyway, you can follow the scores here on the KFM Twitter. Meanwhile, Leinster leader, sports editor Tommy Callan, another busy weekend, Tommy, on the club scene and of course nationally as well, with the All-Ireland Football quarter-finals. Good talking to you, Tommy, and have a great weekend.